Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
Build a better place and call it home, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, as if you didn't know, and Pete's here.
Hello, Marcus.
A little bit coldy, aren't you, Pete?
A little bit cold, a little bit unwell.
Tis the season.
At least, I turned up, though.
I also turned up,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and... Oh, he's not here again.
Not here again.
What the blazes?
Has Jim actually found a job? Not told us.
The great thing is he won't listen to this, no. So we can say what we want about him. The dirty...
Wanker.
Let us begin. Ryan Giggs has turned 40.
Yes. Well done to him.
Well done to him,
well
indeed.
Well done.
He's still playing for the current champions of England.
Yeah.
What on earth? Who's your favourite 40-plus footballer, Pete, from the ages?
From the ages. I'm going to go for Neville Southall.
Lovely job.
When he played for Bradford City and he was 41 years and 178 days.
I thought you were going to say 41 stone.
He pretty much was.
Have you seen him recently?
Yes, I have.
He's a man mountain. He played against Leeds in the... he didn't do particularly well, but they lost 2-1. But I did watch a best of Neville Southall video quite recently. And he's one of the last goalkeepers to do really fancy saves, but catch the ball.
Yes.
They don't do it no more. They like a palm. Everyone palms stuff away. And, you know, sometimes that's a little bit dangerous. You're losing a corner at best. Mm-hmm. I think people should try their very best to catch things.
Well, I think that's probably because...
Full stretch.
Yeah, once or twice a keeper would go and catch the ball and drop it. And then, of course, it's in the path of any striker.
I think if they think they can get a firm hand or wrist in it, at least it's going to ricochet to safety.
Yeah, but I do like the old catching culture.
I'm all for it.
That was prevalent in these great British Isles.
When Big Nev turned out for Bradford, he was the walrus of football.
No,
oh. a big unit.
Yeah,
I mean, he was never there to play, was he? He was kind of a player coach, wasn't he? But then three of their keepers went down.
What did they go down with? Was Neville
a bad suet?
Was Big Neville ever a suspect? That's what I'd like to
let me have a go.
Was it food poisoning? Because food poisoning wouldn't be able to penetrate Neville's.
To be fair, they only lost 2-1, didn't they? It was against Leeds, wasn't it? Yeah, they only lost 2-1.
He was. I mean, it should be said that he was a fabulous keeper.
He was one of the best keepers in Europe at one point.
Yeah.
I seem to recall.
Enormously good goalkeeper.
Yeah. Check out the Dean Windass Hall of Fame on the website.
Want to hear more
about Big Nev?
Yes, absolutely. Luke.
I'm delighted you went for Neville Southall because I was worried you were going to go for mine and I literally haven't got a backup route this time.
Unlike Leeds. Unlike Bradford, sorry.
It's got to be fellow Dean Windass Hall of Famer. Big Paolo Maldini.
Ah!
Yeah.
I'll just have three words to say.
Yes.
And that's it. 5 European Cups.
It is very, very true. He won the same amount of World Cups as Neville Southall, though.
Yeah, you imagine that he's probably not Neville Southall's size.
It never will be.
No, never will be.
Even if he just ate now for the rest.
If he ate another Paolo Maldini, he wouldn't go up the size of Big Nev.
Yeah, I mean, what is there to say about Paolo Maldini, Lukey? I mean, he was a lovely player. He's a fabulous, fabulous player. Terrific. Solid.
I've still got nothing
forward.
More to say.
marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
He got a runners-up medal in the World Cup. So close.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, seven league titles. Yeah, runner up in the 2000 in the Euros.
Yeah,
yeah. So big Paolo Maldini, and just a man who, even when he was 40 plus, he didn't really look that old.
Still doesn't.
Yeah, he still looks great. Yeah.
There was talk of him being brought into the Milan structure and setup. Because I think he got a job with PSG or something like that for a little while or something. But yes, Paolo Maldini, wonderful answer. I'm going to go for Sir Stanley Matthews.
Nice. Nicely done.
Pele said he taught us how to play football. That's an Englishman. Oh, something in the background there.
That was my Stanley Matthews. That was my Pele alarm. If anyone mentions Pele, my phone starts to vibrate.
Big Stanley used to train with weights on.
Yeah.
To keep himself sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he play? I'm pretty sure Stanley 50? Matthews played in a veterans game against Brazil for England when he was north of 70. I think that's the case.
I think it might well be.
We're harking back to that Italian goalkeeper a few weeks ago who made that save, and he was about 70, wasn't he?
Oh, 71 he was. Yeah,
Stanley Matthews. Do I have to play on the wing? Could you not put me in a holding role?
Yeah. Because I am 70 now. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
And are we playing with wing backs? Oh, yeah. God.
Do you think back in the day, though, with Sir Stanley Matthews, it was a different era of football? It was very much the professional game, and it was post Second World War and all that kind of stuff. So maybe like the idea of retiring at a certain age wasn't. They just thought, Sir Stan, is he?
Yeah.
We'll just sort of see how long until he
runs.
If
he's good enough, he's young enough.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, Pete.
Well, he wouldn't have wanted to go into like greengrocery like his peers would have done. He would have had like a butcher shop or something. Uh-huh.
He had very, very long baggy shorts. They were almost short trousers. Well, they were short trousers, of course, back in the day, but they were almost trouser-like.
Yeah.
I miss the kind of like late 90s kind of style of those sort of baggy
trousers. Sorry, the way you said that, trousers. I thought you were going to then go and offer an explanation as to why that's why he lasted so long in football. I was waiting for something extra.
Very
like
that. All his tendons were probably quite warm.
Yeah. Apparently warm.
Yeah. Maybe that's the key.
Yeah. Think about it. Ask Giggsy.
Yeah, that is true. Mm. Honourable mention is Roger Meir.
Yes.
I say Roger Meir because that's how Barry Davis would pronounce it.
Oh.
I know it's Miller.
I feel like so far this show's been a roundup of all the sort of best bits.
Yeah.
The ramble in the past.
Yeah. This is kind of a Hall
Matthews,
of Fame.
Without Jim.
Southall. Maldini.
Jim not here.
Yeah.
Miller.
Yeah. No Jim.
Oh, that bit got a laugh from
Marcus. Yeah. High fives all round.
Yeah.
High fives all round. Who's going to get the points?
Probably Jim.
Yeah, Jim's got the Paolo Maldini, Luke Moore. Luke Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll dedicate him to Paolo.
Cannot complain. Let's start with the Premier League for a change. Cardiff 0, Arsenal 3. A young footballer, Aaron Ramsey, was at the centre of the attention there. Now, some people tweeted me and said, oh, you're a bit annoyed that he didn't celebrate his goals. Not so much, because he does have a big connection with that club, but he didn't apologise for scoring those lovely goals.
Mm.
And that's fine.
I think it got sort of dangerously close, though, to a massive communal wank-off, didn't it?
What, in here?
Yeah, that's just
pre-show.
No, I know what you mean. I think when it comes to our bugbear about not celebrating goals against old clubs and stuff, there is obviously a sliding scale here.
Yes.
If you spent a month alone 10 years ago, you could probably celebrate against them. Mm. If you came through at the club and you moved on to progress your career and you still loved them, and he was doing the Cardiff Ayatollah thing as well, wasn't he? That's sort of fair enough. But generally, I don't think... The celebrating isn't the bad bit. The bad bit is you've scored both two goals against them. You've consigned them to defeat. I know it looks like he's celebrating that, but he's obviously just going to be celebrating a goal, isn't he? He's not going to be celebrating... putting Cardiff for the sword.
Of course.
So I think it would have been acceptable for him to be. As long as he doesn't do an Adebayor and run a leg for the
field.
Shove that one up your arses.
I think it's, if he's like diving into the crowd, like with his shirt off, it might be a little bit.
Revealing a t-shirt saying, fuck off Cardiff.
And I do not want somebody pulling up the seats at Cardiff's ground because it's a lovely little ground.
Mm. Have you been?
Throwing them at, oh no, it wasn't a seat, was it? It was like a little kind of stool, wasn't it? They threw it at Adebayor.
And
a disgruntled fan.
I think was a seat that a steward sits on in front of the advertising.
Did the steward, even the steward was that annoyed. He's like, Adebayor, I'm having this.
No, he got thrown as well.
Oh, did
he? Out of shot.
Did he volunteer to get thrown? Throw me!
Would you have liked it? Throw me, I hate him as well. Would you like it if Ramsey lifted up his t-shirt and had a little shirt underneath saying, daft little ground, see you later. That would have been fun.
Yeah, that would have... Wonderful. Absolutely
or
wonderful.
Or if he had a massive boil that was on the turn and he just went into the corner flank and just...
Squeezed it. That would have been nice.
Squeeze it to fruition.
How have you thought of that?
I just thought the most repulsive thing you could possibly do in
and
a ground.
And then after he just went into the pitch side cam, just went... Oh.
Oh, the relief.
Yeah.
As he walked off, he just went, yeah, see ya. Oh dear.
That's the tactical round,
yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. But should we talk about the game? Well, what about the moment when Giroud, he stopped playing? Play to the ref's whistle. Well, rule number one.
Two questions. Was there a whistle from the crowd or something?
I don't... If there was, it was
a good one.
Good whistle, yeah.
And secondly, was it actually touched on? Was he actually on... Offside.
He was offside, so to be fair...
But the guy made contact with it and touched it on.
Yeah, so the lino didn't realise that...
Play on.
Yeah, of course play on.
Yeah.
I mean, two things that you told as a youngster. Don't play the ball across the face of your own goal. and play the referee's whistle.
Yeah.
It puts me in mind of something that's been a bit of a bugbear of mine recently that I've noticed. Does it not annoy you when defenders appeal for offside?
Yeah, get on it.
It's not cricket. You haven't got to make an appeal to get a decision. Just play on. If the linesman has never once in the history of the game gone, oh yeah, you're right there.
I think they have a favour everyone does it. It kind of does sway. So, oh, something's happened. I've got a decision to make there. If you see no reaction from... Yeah, no, but if you see no reaction from the back four, back five of players, if everyone puts their hands up, it's like...
To be fair...
You know, if I was a liner, I'd be like...
I think it's offside or it isn't, and the linesman...
But you've got to remember, the liner makes a very...
They're only human, Luke.
True.
They are human, and that is a problem with refereeing officials.
Cut off defenders' arms.
Yeah. I'd like to see them have to run permanently with their hands in their pockets.
Well, we need pockets.
Yeah. That is
one step at a time.
Yeah,
here.
That's true.
But I think Pete's got a point, isn't it? That if there is a whole stadium and the back four are all appealing, it does put enormous pressure on the officials. It's true. It must do.
But my view would be, you play on, try your best to stop them scoring. And if it's offside, that's a bonus.
Yeah, but if you think about a linesman, there will be a number of decisions where he thinks, I'm not sure about that one. And if nobody's appealed it, it's just that second where he thinks, oh, well, I'm not going to give it then because they're not going to complain.
I mean, in Arsenal's kind of case, the captain of Arsenal decides whether the defenders are allowed arms or not.
He does, yeah.
That is very... Yeah. That's a very good point.
And if anyone who doesn't agree is not respecting the tradition of the club.
Exactly.
What is that all about? Yeah. I mean, obviously, Wenger said that he was annoyed that Flamini was cutting his sleeves off his shirt. And he said the captain decides whether we go long sleeve or short sleeve.
Why have they got scissors? Why have they got knives?
Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed.
Maybe bit them off.
As far as I'm concerned... this comes from the fact that John Cross at the Mirror completely lost his shit about it because he's an Arsenal fan, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And he just pursued the agenda. And then when people said, why are you doing this? He went, oh, it's not a big deal. What are you talking about? Just asking you what you're doing.
Column inch after column inch. Yeah. It is not a big deal.
Yeah. But I thought Arsenal played well. It was a good win for them. Ertzel was good. Flamini's goal was a beauty.
It was. So was Ramsey's, the header.
Well, Ramsey's just unplayable, wasn't he, at the moment?
You know, but what I think is very encouraging for Arsenal is that... they've gone to a place that has been tricky. It will be tricky, as the Manchester clubs will testify to. And they've won 3-0. And it's just...
It's title form. Title form.
Well, not according to everybody at the BBC and Sky Sports.
Well,
I don't know about Sky Sports.
That one aberration they had against Manchester United aside, they look in great form. They really do, you know. And you'd have to be mental to not consider them title challenges now. I mean, the next got two home games coming up. It's Hull and Everton, both winnable. You'd fancy them to beat Hull.
Do you think there's a bit of an agenda with some of the pundits who have? I mean, Feng has been criticised, and probably fairly over the years, but by so many of the pundits. But there does seem, if I may suggest, a slight anti-Arsenal agenda, maybe. But the fact is,
I don't know if that's fair. I know what you're getting at, but if you put it in perspective, Arsenal haven't won a trophy for a long time, not won the league title for a long time. So it is sort of legitimate to question why that is.
Okay.
And they've looked for a weakness within Arsenal. They've decided, rightly or wrongly, that the mental toughness is possibly the problem, and whether they can last a distance, whether their squad's big enough. These are all legitimate concerns, I think. Okay. I mean, I think they would be saying the same thing if it was like Man United under Moyes. They'd still be going, oh, Moyes never won a title before. You know, like, can they do it? You know?
Yeah. And I think when the transfer window comes around every single time, it's like, are they going to spend any money? Are they going to spend any money?
Yeah.
But do you remember how big the Higuain story was?
Yeah.
In this summer?
I know what you mean.
We're not bothered now, are we? Christ. Good Lord.
But I think, as we've said before, you can get away with it as long as your midfielders are chipping in with a fair few goals and Aaron Ramsey seems to be doing that lovely. So.
Mm. Early contender.
Because Les Ferdinand said about Giroud, didn't he, this weekend as well?
Yes.
That's another part of it. He said that Giroud... Well, if Giroud doesn't even know he's offside or not, so maybe it might not be a big deal to lose him.
Yeah, they have had injury. I mean, Podolski's not played at all.
I think he's on his way back now as well.
Yeah, and obviously Walcott's not been playing too much as well. So, but yeah, another great win for Arsenal.
Another great win for Newcastle United.
I hope you're preparing that jingle.
What? Oh, yeah, I'm going to
give you 10 seconds.
Well, just cut and paste the one from last week.
Fill it in, Marcus.
No way.
Newcastle are 1 point above Southampton. Mm. We've been raving about Southampton, as has everybody this season, rightly so. And at the start of the season, the first month or month and a half, whatever it was, Newcastle were derided and lampooned, maybe we could go as far to say, and slagged off. And they are a point above the Saints, which is quite remarkable. I think they've won the last four.
2 points off third.
2 points behind Manchester City, who have had some excellent wins this season.
Yeah.
Pete, what on earth is going on up there?
It's pretty pretty bloody good, isn't it? Well, it has kind of coincided with Shola's return to form. He's been brilliant the last two matches.
Return to form.
He's found his level, and that level is level 32, because that's how old he is.
It's a World Cup year.
It is.
So he's turning it on. Yeah.
No, it was a really, really
good
match.
Get him on that plane.
I think the most satisfying part of that goal, of that game, was definitely Brunscott, to be honest. Because can you imagine hitting that ball like that?
Yeah.
There's just something beautiful about leathering the ball as hard as you can into the roof of the net and hearing that... sort of noise of the net. It's like, yes!
You're choosing West Brom's goal.
Yes, I am. That's the satisfying part.
Not the Newcastle United winner from Sissoko, which was arguably the goal of the weekend.
It was more... whose header was it now? It was somebody's header.
Gouffran.
Gouffran into the path of... Gouffran
scored
didn't,
the first, yeah.
Didn't, you know, it was another goal from a header. Hang on. Money, must be
funny in a Gouffran world. Do you think Joe Kinnear plays that to Mike Ashley?
When he walks, where's the money?
Joe Kinnear and Sven-Göran Eriksson's theme tune.
So, yeah, Kinnear, though, I mean, Locke Remy was his man who brought in. It's a masterstroke, really.
Yeah.
Well, him massively messing up.
He said that squad did not need improving, really. and you're 2 points behind Manchester City.
A club that has been underinvested.
At time of recording, because there are games this week.
I think Swansea's got a really, really heavy set of fixtures the next couple of weeks. So I think tomorrow's match we might have a chance in, less so with Manchester United at the weekend. But I think they've got a big chance.
Yeah.
But,
Is it the time for Newcastle?
I don't think it is.
Back in the Champions League,
back in the Champions League football.
It was good to see the reciprocal away agreement between them and West Brom. £15 for adults, £5 concessions.
Something that
should really continue at every ground, I think.
My goodness, they're just a beacon of hope and light to the rest of
Newcastle
the Premier League.
Just bringing it for everyone.
Bringing on the good times.
Jump on board our cheap fun bus, everyone.
A club that's been run on fumes for the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
But a great win for Newcastle.
And Pardew reckons he's going to win League and Manager of the Month as well.
Oh,
little joke from Pardew there. Yeah. At least he's not thanking Mike Ashley for the result anyway. That one's for Ashley. Fuck off, Alan.
Great win for Hull City. They beat Liverpool 3-1.
Yeah.
It was a really good performance. Jake Livermore got a deflected goal to kick the game off.
Hilarious goals going in that one.
Well, Gerrard scored a free kick, and then Liverpool pushed forward and couldn't penetrate that Hull defence, and they looked pretty solid and sturdy, and then hit them on the break a couple of times, and there was right at the end, I think it was
Al-Mohammadi, wasn't it?
Yeah, would that have made it 4-1?
Yeah.
That was a lovely move.
Well, it really was nice. He just couldn't apply the finish. I thought Liverpool were quite poor, actually.
Mm.
So a friend of mine who's a Liverpool fan said that it was the worst that they'd seen him play under Rodgers, which I think might be a little bit of a stretch, but I mean, I'll take the point.
What do you think of Steve Bruce playing a... Did he play back three? I think he played a back three with his son in the heart of it. I didn't know Steve Bruce's son was a player. That's poor knowledge for me.
Has he paid his subs? He doesn't have to face up.
I was unaware that.
One thing I will say about Steve Bruce,
yes,
is that
lovely man.
His tracksuit bottoms are a joke.
Yeah, they are.
So tight on him.
Pete, what do you think of Steve Bruce now? How'd you like him now?
How'd you like him? I like him just as much as I did last week.
I would love it. I'd love it if Hull finish in the top three.
I'd love
and
it.
And he comes into this studio playing, "How do you like me now?" Looking at you.
"How do you like me now?" Steve Bruce.
"Do you like me? Do you like..." Hang on. Is that Bobby?
Alex Bruce has been around for ages.
Yeah, I know, it's poor. I knew he was a poor boy. I just forgot.
Poor boy, Marcus. I think they missed out Coutinho and Sturridge.
Yeah, Coutinho came on, though, to no avail.
I think Liverpool... the thing with Liverpool is they start off really quickly, and I think it's one of their tactics is to hammer teams straight from the off. I think it's going into that game, 75% of their goals have been scored in the first half.
Yeah.
And I think they rely on getting their nose in front early and making it very difficult by keeping hold of the ball for teams to get back into it. And they couldn't do that against Hull.
Well,
And Hull got the sort of reasonably fortunate goal to start with, and that sort of chucked their plans in disarray, really.
Yeah, that's something that Liverpool have got to watch. Because, I mean, Rodgers, I know he's been there for a little bit of time now, and it's a difficult job bringing in players and whatnot. But at Swansea, you know, the criticism of him, I mean, obviously he did a great job at Swansea. But what I think a lot of the Swansea fans would say, since Michael Laudrup was there, they've got a lot more attacking impetus. And with Rodgers there was a lot of sideways passing and just keep possession for almost possession's sake, and not so much was done with it, if there was a criticism, because obviously they're incredibly grateful for the job he did there. So perhaps Liverpool, you know, I mean, Suarez and Sturridge have been great this season, but that could just remain a little bit of a problem.
From what I've seen, the way to get at Liverpool is to get at them early and don't let them sort of force themselves upon the game. And I sort of thought holding that quite well. Aided and abetted by that sort of deflected goal, which is pretty fortunate. There was quite a comedy moment when it was, I think, 2-1 to Hull. Yeah, it was, because it was when Hull scored their third. They broke from a corner, didn't they? And Toure was the only one back, playing him all on side.
Yeah.
And he was sorting his shorts out while the guy was attacking him.
He was looking for the pockets.
With his hand up, hand up for offside.
He was doing his shorts off. I was like, "Hurry up! Look at the score in a minute." Oh, they have done.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I'm glad Huddleston's effort wasn't given as his goal.
It definitely wasn't his goal.
The hair stays.
It was a terrible finish.
He should have taken it the first time.
It was going miles wide as well.
There was a couple of very funny guys. The beach ball from a few seasons ago, just at home watching Sunday, going, funny.
And of course, Steve Bruce has gone to talk to the chairman about the Hull City. Hull City's name, Hull City Tigers.
Imagine if the chairman just went, "What are you doing here? You're sacked." You could do that.
"I want to change your name, otherwise you're sacked."
"Yeah, I want to change your name to Steve the Tiger." And you've got, every time you do an interview, you've got a growl.
Eating a bowl of...
And you're only allowed to eat once a week. That'll be a struggle.
Yeah, well, I'll quit. You can't fire me.
To be fair, I think it would be a struggle for anybody.
Yeah, once a week.
Much less Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
How long does that last for? Is it like a 3-day gorge fest?
You're allowed to eat, like, you know, a massive side of animal. But
what
then...
is happening here?
Just the image of Steve Bruce, blood all around his mouth. Going, "Nah."
Oh, we've not got sponsored breaks. Oh, sorry, I thought that was one of them. Great win for Hull. A decent win for West Ham. I mean, if you can't beat Fulham these days, then you've got to have a big, long look at yourself. But a good win anyway. They've scored three goals. Yol's been sacked.
Yeah. Yes.
Martin Yol. Martin Lull. There we go. Yeah.
He came up with, at the end of the press conference, just after the match, he said, "I'll see you soon, I hope."
Oh,
I tell you what, with Yol, didn't he say something like, "Well, I didn't see it coming and it's a surprise," and all? And I thought, wow, they are relaxed at Craven Cottage.
You just knew Moussa Dembélé came on.
Have you been watching the game?
Do you remember a good few weeks ago now in... who was the side, the Confederations Cup, the small side? Tahiti.
Oh, Tahiti, yeah.
Yeah, in the Tahiti League, they've got 4 points for a win, 2 points for a draw, 1 point for a loss. And the reason for that is we didn't want to see anybody sad or something like that.
Absolutely.
Do you think Yol thought that was brought in? "It's all right, we're picking up points."
Yeah.
No, Martin, you're not. And you've got to go.
But when you did see Moussa Dembélé coming on and within seconds his hamstring went, I thought, well, his looks through, isn't it, really?
The writing's on the wall when Munestein came in, really, wasn't it?
Apparently he came in with Yol's kind of recommendation, which seems really, really strange. Why would you suddenly throw money at him in the January transfer window? I mean, it's coming up, and he said that they need investment. But
Pat Garrett was in Billy the Kid's gang.
It's true. It's true. I think that, you know, Martin Yol was a bit. I do like Martin Yol stuff, and. But I mean,
he did a terrible job at Fulham.
If he was given more money in January, I think he would just come up with a much more, even more unbalanced side. You know, they don't make it. The signs don't really make any sense.
Yeah, but apparently over the last five transfer windows, they've spent £4 million net. So, like, it's not like they're they're splashing the cash left, right, and centre, and they're quite a well off club, but they certainly were.
Yeah, well, they are at the moment.
It'd be interesting to see how Moonstein gets on, because there's always talk that like coaching and managing is different. Of course it is, but it seems to be automatically assumed that he's not going to be successful because. Yeah. He's not managed before, and I think he's managed once at Bromby, and he managed briefly over in Russia, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I mean, there have been coaches in the past that have done well, like Steve Clark's done a pretty good job.
Yeah,
and you know, people in the past, assistants who've come in and taken over the main job have done okay. So it might not necessarily go badly for him, but it does depend on who they sign in January. He needs to get some hard working players in there who defend from the front.
We need to get them motivated, because not only do they look. Like nothing's happening for them playing wise. They just don't look bothered.
No. Well, they got outfought by West Ham, didn't they, essentially? Because West Ham, it's not like West Ham have been banging the goals in playing this free flowing football. West Ham were in real trouble.
To be fair, Carlton Cole's back.
Yeah,
well, back amongst the goals as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, and that's a worry in itself.
There were other goals in London on the weekend. Spurs 2, Manchester United 2. It was a Kyle Walker free kick under the wall.
Yeah, that was a poor wall.
Should Walls jump?
I'm not getting involved. We got shouted at last week.
Oh, yeah.
The Everton one.
Yeah.
Even though I maintain that I was right.
Yeah. You're always right.
Always right.
I think a wall probably should jump if a bit further away.
It depends on the distance, yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on the distance.
I've always jumped in a wall.
And do jazz hands at the same time.
If you can.
Yeah.
If you can.
By your side, otherwise you might get a handball.
That's true. That is very
But I think they made it very hard for De Gea, didn't they? You couldn't see it till late. I mean, you possibly could have done a bit better.
Oh, Sandro's goal.
That was a beauty, wasn't it? What a goal.
Rival Sissoko's for goal.
Soldado sunk to his knees in celebration, didn't he? Absolutely loved it. You've got to celebrate someone's goals. You've got to celebrate his own.
Wayne Rooney got two goals either side of that.
Did you hear what Garth Crooks said about Wayne Rooney?
No.
I'll read it to you. Garth Crooks included Wayne Rooney in his Team of the Week on the BBC website.
Yeah.
And what he does, if you haven't seen it, is he does a little paragraph on each player that he's chosen. Yeah. The paragraph of Wayne Rooney, right, I will read it to you as it's written. It is bizarre.
He's a very bizarre man.
So he does. This is the write up about Wayne Rooney's performance this weekend.
It's Crook's luck.
From start to finish. Right? Mm. There's no. I've not taken anything out or added anything to it. It's exactly how it's written from start to finish. I was speaking to my uncle Ben on Saturday.
Yeah, it's strong. He's got an opinion.
And said that Aaron Ramsey was almost certain to be the unanimous choice for Footballer of the Year. He took the glass of champagne out of my hand and said, "You mean Wayne Rooney, don't you?" I told him that he'd made a very good point and promptly went home.
Did he get his champagne back?
He'd had too much to drink. He was mouthing off.
That's why Wayne Rooney's in the Team of the Week this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing about his performance.
Uncle Ben.
Yeah, very strange.
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben and the champagne incident.
I agree with Uncle Ben. Wayne Rooney played very well this weekend.
Now get back to it.
Yeah, thanks, I will.
Right, okay. What about Vish Bois? He responded to certain criticisms from the media, didn't he?
Saying that
they were questioning his integrity, human values and his professionalism. Do you think he's... I think he may have just gone a little bit too far.
I think he thinks he's a marked man in the media, and to a certain extent, to some sections of the media, he's right.
Mm. Yeah.
There's two separate points, isn't there? One is, do I agree with it? Yes. Mm. I think it's probably true. I mean, there's a load of red-nap friends in the media. Mm-hmm. He's a foreign guy, so that comes with its own problems to some of the more unsavoury parts of the football press, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is it the best way of going about it? Maybe not.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd probably just get on with it.
Yeah.
Or retweet it.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, you could say he's a marked man. But then Pulis at Palace, people have been... You know, they've questioned him a lot, and Allardyce gets a bit of treatment in some sections of the press as well.
Love
both Pulis as well.
Lots of people love Allardyce, don't they?
Yeah.
What I would say is that when he was being asked what he meant by certain points, he was saying, "Well, don't need to explain that." It's like, well, you kind of do if you're gonna be on the offensive.
Pulis was on the sort of back foot, front foot at times, wasn't he? And Gary Lineker asked him, "Are you going to use the same kind of tactics that you've used?" And immediately he's like, "Well, I mean, you know, the kind of tactics." to keep you in the division for 6 years and get you to a cup final and play in Europe, you know. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I understand what you mean. I think that going back to the game, Spurs look much better when they play with a bit of tempo. As I said before, they sort of drive the pace up, play with a lot more intensity. Even if it gets a team like Man United, they've got a lot of quality. And they can cause teams problems. Just when they do this ponderous, slow stuff.
But Spurs always... It is a tradition down there. I mean, it's difficult to say which English sides play with a certain style because we don't have directors of football. You've just got the manager who's parachuted and then off he goes in the next one. But you would say Spurs, actually, the tradition is a high-tempo game down there and quite exciting football. And maybe the City result, the 6-0, was a kick up the arse, as if to say, come on. Yeah. You've got these fantastic players. OK, some of them...
But he changed up a bit. He put Dembele, he did well. He put Paulinho further forward, he also did well. And it did sort of seem to make a difference.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
to build on for them, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So a bit better from Spurs. Before we leave England, we've got to mention a few sackings in the Championship.
A few.
Yeah,
in the league.
All, yeah, the hat-trick. Wigan sacked Owen Cole just after 5 months in charge. And Flitcroft, Barnes and Dave Jones sacked by Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, it's weird that Whelan sacked Cole so early, given that he stuck with Martinez for so long.
Yeah, that's right. A bit some brighter news from the Championship was that Middlesbrough have signed Shay Given. He's one of the few players to have played for all three North East clubs.
But he just wants to play football.
Yeah. Do you not think, because the Martinez thing with Whelan is that, like, I know, I think Whelan's a bit of an idiot, but he with the, what I mean with the Martinez thing is that Martinez was continually linked to bigger clubs, and Whelan would say, I'm not going to stand in his way. And he seemed quite reasonable about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's acted quite unreasonably coil. I know they've had a bit of a bad run, but he's not been there that long, has he?
True. I mean, but maybe, though, if Martinez has set the club up and he thinks, I want this to continue, I want to go in this direction.
Why find our Coyle then?
Well, but if he thought Coyle was a man, he talked a good. Chat in the interview, and then perhaps he feels Cole has veered them off in a direction. He thinks, no, I don't want that, and they've talked, and he thinks, well, let's nip it in the bud now and move on. Or it just could be a poor decision.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, they're mid-table, and they've got, I mean, to be fair, they are competing in the Europa League as well, so it's difficult for them. If they're 6 points off the playoff, something like that, it's not really the end of the world. I suppose maybe he wants to give them a bit of time to rebuild in January when the transfer window, that sort of thing. So
Absolutely. Let's go to the Liga. And Real Madrid beat Valladolid 4-0. Gareth Bale with a perfect hat-trick, left foot, right foot, header.
Nice.
He's having a great time, isn't he?
Has he scored more goals than Spurs have scored?
He's scored nine.
I'd love that
this season, I think.
Must be about similar then.
Yeah, he's 9-13.
If you take off the Europa League scores, I guess you're probably about that.
But I mean, bear in mind, obviously, there was slight concerns about injury and fitness and lack of pre-season when he went there. Is this a surprise? Should people really be surprised that Gareth Bale's playing very good football?
No.
No, not the slightest. Not the slightest, but he was quite injured when he was being forced to get on the field.
Well, that's what we said. We said he was being picked for political reasons, didn't we? Stuff, so.
There you go. And Benzema got the other one, if you wanted to know and couldn't be bothered checking the internet. Athletic Bilbao won Barcelona 0. Yeah. Crisis times. Two games in a row that they've lost. Barcelona.
That's the first league game they've lost.
I think they've occupied the top spot for 53 weeks.
Wow, okay.
Wow. That's Brian Adams-esque.
I know.
Oh, no, hang on, they're still maybe on point because they're on the same
point. They are top. They are top with goal difference.
Atletico Madrid, yeah.
Or whatever it is, but they're definitely still top. And
they're doing well.
I'm sure I read that Tata Martino is one game away from having the best ever start to a season by a Barcelona manager.
Yeah, quite possibly.
So I don't think it's quite crisis.
I think Bilbao's a difficult place to go.
Absolutely. I mean, they're fourth in the league and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're without Messi, obviously. They're not a one-club man, but that's obviously going to happen.
About 10 days ago, they won 7-0.
Yeah.
It's a funny old world, isn't it?
Yeah, so get off their backs. But it makes it an interesting run.
Well, Atletico Madrid aren't going anywhere, are they? They seem to be keeping the pace quite easily.
Yeah, and obviously Madrid have moved within 3 points of the top two. So, could have an exciting finish.
Yeah. Who knows?
Finish? Christmas. Let's get that out of the way first. Serie A. Something that's potentially happening is old Ricky Kaká showing signs of old. Is he coming back? But Milan won 3-1 away to Catania. Montolivo and Balotelli scored as well as Kaká, but if you saw him against Celtic, that sort of run he made, the glide.
He has got a glide on him.
Briskly glides up the pitch and sets up, and he's getting on
like
the score.
Like a banner, like a naughty banner.
I thought, bloody hell.
I wouldn't want to be pacing somebody up a glide like that.
Yeah. Somebody else is aware of the World Cup year. you know, just a bit. What do you reckon, Kaká? I mean, could he make the Brazil squad? I mean, they do have very good midfielders, and he seems pretty set.
It's always so competitive, isn't it? But you can imagine the Brazilian players being so motivated ahead of a World Cup in their own country that, you know, you never know.
And they do have a history of, like, kind of, South American teams do have a history of putting people in then and go, yeah, look, it was him though, innit? Look at that. Look at that, it's him.
And they're also about a billion points off the top, aren't they, Milan?
20.
20 points off the top in December.
It really is poor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Roma drew 1-1 away to Atalanta. The last-minute equaliser. They're still unbeaten, but struggling without Totti. They've drawn their last four league matches.
And Juventus have leapfrogged them, haven't they, now at the top of the table. So.
Yeah, Juve got a good win at home to Udinese, injury-time winner from Llorente. And there was just over 12,000 children, school children, cheering on Juventus in place of the Juve Ultras, who'd been banned. I like that. Get the Ultras out, get the kids in.
Yeah, that didn't go very well, because they got fined, because the school kids kept on shouting swear words at the keeper.
Oh, you see?
Ooh, Melda!
That's what happens
shit.
With a little
Ooh, shit.
On. Little sods.
Yeah.
Get them out again. Get the ultras back.
Yeah. Shouting ooh shit at the keeper when you take a goal kick. That's just part and parcel of the game. Rude.
Yeah. Might not be there, Peter.
It really is.
Might not be there.
Yeah.
This was a nicer one. Antonio Cassano scored his 100th Serie A goal. With a lovely volley.
The marking was terrible, to be fair.
It's a great finish.
He just stood in front of everyone. I'm going to hit this.
You can only finish what's played in front of you.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
As Big Nev says.
Just before the goal, he actually says, there's no point marking me, I'm going to score anyway. Yeah. Like, all right, fair enough.
It is my destiny.
Yeah. Cheers. In Ligue 1, PSG beat Lyon 4-0 in the big one there.
That's Zlatan penalty. It was lovely stuff.
A dink to the top corner. Yeah.
Smiling before it even went through the six-yard box. Yeah. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah. I know this sounds crazy, and I'm sure the goalkeeper knows much better than I do, but to me, it looked like he was gonna do that.
Mm.
It wasn't even like he disguised it that well, was it?
But you look at like Palenka when he took that back in the day. It's like
that had never been done before then, so you can understand why.
I would argue that it's not even strictly Palenka, because it was more of a. I think even if the keeper stood up, he'd have to do a big old jump to get that
ball. So it was
more
of a dink, really.
Yeah, it was more of a dink. I would argue that wasn't a true Panenka.
Well, I'll tell him.
He's not earned his beer and chocolate yet.
I think he'll definitely care.
Yeah, indeed. Good old Zlats. What about this? Let's go to Colombia to finish up the main part of the show. Now, Colombia, it's a political one here, but it's linked to football. Stay with us. Colombia has had many years of unrest in certain parts of the country, as many of you cultured listeners will be aware. Rebel groups clashing with government forces and whatnot. And this has been going on for nearly 50 years. Who is the man to say enough's enough? Carlos Valderrama.
The kid.
On the weekend, he put it out there that Colombia's biggest rebel group, FARC, should play a peace football match with the Colombian government in an attempt to negotiate an agreement to end this conflict. FARC are up for it.
Yeah, bring it on, they
For say. FARC's sake, they are up for it. Okay? The match of peace is going to go ahead by the looks of it. There's actually two matches that's going to be played, one in Havana in Cuba and the other in the Colombian city of Santa Marta. Now, on their blog, on the FARC blog, they said they're fanatical about football. And I did
love
like
this quote. This quote's pretty.
Isn't it just? They said, the members of our fronts and companies organise merry informal games in which dribbles, overhead and scorpion kicks and goal saves camouflage themselves into the colours of the mountains.
Oh, that's poetic, that.
It's time for a change.
On their blog, we love football, when we're not fighting.
Yeah. Football and fighting. Football.
A bit like yourself, Pete.
Yeah.
Right? We're up for that, are we?
I'd like to see what happens. I'd like you to keep us posted.
Which I definitely will be on that blog.
Do we get to talk about the World Cup draw next week?
Yeah, we do. About time. Our fate.
Switzerland, Iran and Algeria will be me.
I thought
can grow into the tournament.
I thought about that. I thought, we'll only stuff it up.
Switzerland are quite good. They'll probably beat us.
Yeah, can't beat Algeria. Mm. And in Iran, all, you know,
France will get you a group. That's what everyone says.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd probably a sort of semi-tricky one.
Would you?
Yeah.
But Switzerland beat Spain last time, don't forget.
They did. Mm. So they definitely beat us. But that'll be very interesting for next week's show.
As long as Iron Robin doing a knee slide, a really bad one, I'll be happy. Cutting his knees up.
Yeah.
That's all we can hope for. Let's go to Pete's game.
Yeah, let's go to Pete's game. These clues come from none other than Joe Ward. Thank you, Joe Ward. Muzzy, is it's a knockout?
Yeah, okay. Good. Right, I feel under pressure now. I've got to hear his name.
Head on. I was born on the 20th of September, 1967, in Coquitlam, in Canada.
Stop. Paul Pesky Salida.
No. Good. My middle name is Lorne.
Stop. Thomas Rosinski.
No. I made my debut in England in 1985, playing for Ipswich Town.
Stop. Craig Forster? No, that's the...
Stop. Craig Forrest.
Craig Forrest.
Yeah! Yeah, well done.
263 caps for them before moving to West Ham United in 1987. I won the CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Enough of that. I want to know who Craig Forster is.
And goal for Celtic, didn't he? No,
Andy Cole's one scored five against me. I was also in goal for West Ham when Manchester United beat us 7-1 in 2000. I am Greg Forrest.
I feel like Jermaine Defoe.
Up yours. I'm the Nuge. I am the Nuge.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. It was there to be put
fair
in.
Dues,
if,
the fair dues.
If it was there, he was there to be put in.
Your mistake on that was to guess when you didn't fully know their name.
Yeah.
Listeners, I was worried that Luke hadn't won for a little while. He may have won last week, I can't remember. And
I thought,
I'm going to gift him that.
I'll take it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will take it.
That's all not true. Any correspondence?
Yes, well, the question of the week this week was, after the cruel sacking of Big Martin Yol.
Cruel at all?
Well, it's cruel to the hearts and minds of the football going public, I think.
Cruel.
Unless you're a Fulham fan. Yeah. Where can you see him finding gainful employment next? Is the question. David Graham, straight in there. I'd like your guys' opinion on this. Mm-hmm. He could tour the land giving hugs for £2, read bedtime stories for £10, or narrate your life for a day for only £200. I like that
tweet. Narrate your life for a day.
But that tweet sort of implies that he is some sort of agent associated with Martin Yol.
Yeah.
He can narrate your life for a day for only £200. Like, he's actually agreed that price with Martin before. Do you think Martin would be up for that?
Punch a man on some waste ground for £300.
Stripped to the waist.
I think Yol's a bit... I think he's a lovely, lovely fella, but I think there's a tough side to him which he would exploit more in his next employment.
You wouldn't want him reading the bedtime story to you if he was in a bad mood.
No, absolutely. No. What else you got?
A bouncer outside a nightclub in the Fulham area so we can kick out any of those mouthy geezers who are slagging off.
I agree with that. I was going to say a doorman myself.
That's from Ed Baker. Matt says we'd like him back at Spurs just to give AVB a cuddle so he knows it'll all be okay.
Yeah, nice. Ed Baker?
That's his name.
I thought he was going to sort of say, I wanted to model a line of suits and whatnot. It's from Ed Baker.
Well, Ed Baker was the bouncer suggestion. That one about Spurs was from Matt.
Okie dokes.
Michael Craven pops in with a dig.
Craven.
Yeah, he says he'll probably beat Pete to the voiceover job for the next football manager game.
Oh,
yeah.
Football manager.
Back to your cottage, Craven. It's an obvious one.
Let's have a look. Jamie Wallace says he's the nicest mean-looking bastard going. So a security guard in Marks and Spencer. He can scare the ruffians and help the nice old dears.
Yeah, Marks and Spencer. Or Waitrose.
Yeah, fine.
I know
Jamie.
Do you? Went to school with him.
Oh, I wouldn't have read that out if I'd known that. Accusations of nepotism abound.
Probably be Lidl then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Max Hebdick on the Facebook says, an Amsterdam coffee house. Imagine Big Yol sipping an espresso and sharing a jazz fag with Berber, who's sketching Joel's oversized face while they discuss Euro 80.
Lovely.
Now you're talking.
That's not a job, though, is it, really, Max? Can you get paid for that?
What, like, Berbatov's sketchy muse. Lovely.
I like that one.
And we'll finish off from Joe Burgess on Twitter, who says, I'd like to see him as a cowboy. What's more majestic than a big Martin Yol in tight denim lassoing a steer? Plus, all his best moments have been in Spurs.
good.
There you go.
Yeah, lovely.
Have one
stuff
of those next week.
There you go. Well, I'm afraid that. Before we go, Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio, yes. We are off to Stoke. They're hosting Chelsea at the Britannia. And Russ Williams is going to be joined by Deacon Blue at 1:30. So there you
from
go.
From Scotland, I think, Deacon Blue.
Yeah, so that's.
So well done to them.
Could they not get run, Rick? Could they not get run, Rick?
That's Saturday afternoon.
Texas not available.
Wait.
Match. Let's get on with it.
Okie dokes. Well, that's the end of the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Get in touch with the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Get on the website. We've the lovely Kelly is doing tweeting lots of updates.
She's bloody funny, that woman.
Honestly.
She did a good, yeah, should be here instead of Jim, frankly. Yeah. You should, so well done, Jim, all right.
Yeah.
You better get back here soon. She's done a really good Photoshop of Yol as the East Island statue, or one of them, which is very lovely.
Yeah, we like that. Yeah. So, excellent. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, team.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, The all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.